All right, ladies and gentlemen from around the Delaware Valley, welcome to Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg. We've got a fantastic broadcast from, brought to you by Nierenberg Law Associates. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'll tell you, we got somebody who looks familiar to us in the passenger seat this time.
I may have done this once or twice
before. Once or twice.
He's confused. He's used to being in different seats.
I know.
Offices. We took him out of his comfort zone.
Exactly. but I'm obviously we're ecstatic to bring in Jeff's guest, Sonny Banks, who, if you listen to WWDB, does about 70 shows a year on, so he really needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway. How are you, Sonny?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you and Jeff for having me.
It was a tough decision, I tell you. We had to mull over that one for weeks.
We went through like 35 names. We're like, I guess Sonny.
They all couldn't make it.
Right. Sonny's he's our backup.
He's the best. So we're ecstatic, obviously, to have. It's cool how everything kind of comes around. I still remember the day, Sonny, where Jeff had said this was always a dream of his, and you had said, well, today's your lucky day.
Definitely.
We had been talking about bringing Jeff on the air, and what's awesome is we're still here, man.
We are.
Like 6 months later, and Jeff's show was rocking and rolling.
I want to say, Sonny, so we're going to talk later about Sparking the Dream Initiative. You sparked my dream. You helped me finally do something that I've talked about with friends and family for years. Appearing on your show twice in the last year was so much fun and so inspiring for me that, you know, when you guys honored me with the opportunity to do this, it really has been wonderful and great. And it's something that has really changed me. And we're doing all kinds of things on the radio now that with Joe and now with my legal talk show, but it all starts because of you. And I just want to thank you for thinking of me because I'm really appreciative.
Listen, it was easy. I mean, you're clearly a natural on air.
Yeah.
And, radio is such an important medium. And I think it gets overlooked.
It does.
Because of the popularity with TV and, you know, all the advertising that's done on that. But I think you can, reach different folks, reach a different audience through the radio as opposed to TV and other forms of
And people say when it comes to talk radio, the listener stays on. The listener that tunes in, the average listener, listens for 30 to 40 minutes of a broadcast. And so
that's incredible in a world where there's no attention span that people do really care about radio.
You know what the thing is? With politics over the last, 4 years, 5, 6 years, it's blown up like there's no tomorrow. Like talk radio has gone through the roof.
Sure.
And by the way, we do legal
talk. Everybody has an opinion.
Oh, yeah. And they want to hear the talking heads, and that's us and a lot of our friends. So it's very cool. That was an awesome kind of tribute there, Jeff, to Sonny. Sonny, by the way, has inspired the spark in the dream, and he's spearheading the initiative, which we're going to get into. Now, what we do when we start off typically is we get into a little sports talk, and
really.
Yeah, by the way, yesterday's guest was a fantastic person, but wasn't as much into sports as Jeff Nierenberg. I would assume one of our favorite times of the year when you talk about, here we are. NFL's kicking off.
Baseball playoffs.
College football.
Basketball's right around the corner.
He's got his Villanova shirt on. Sonny, he's ready.
I'll tell you, this is going to be a new year. I can't wait to see what happens with Villanova.
Me too.
Interesting.
It is a great time of year. But see the Phillies game. Well, first of all, this is going to air several days after the, after we record it. But last night, 2-1 win
against the Marlins. It's always important to highlight that.
There's always an asterisk. It's the Marlins.
You say that
they don't do well against. But
Marlins. What's that guy? How do you say his name? Alcantara. That pitcher is one of the best pitchers in baseball. We have his number.
Guys, they beat him twice in a row. And Nick Maton, who was some kid rookie, hits a 2-run homer off the best pitcher in baseball. Maybe this is the year that we break the jinx of 11 years without playoffs.
Oh yeah, listen, and I'll tell you. Sonny.
And I heard this morning their magic number is 17.
It is?
Yeah.
So. That's still a large number. There's plenty of times to screw it up. There's a lot of time.
Well, I'll tell you what I really, if there's one surprise right now, right? Who's that Falter, that kid, the left-handed Bailey Falter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My God, did he come around?
He sure did.
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, they had him relieving, which he probably wasn't a reliever.
He right. faltered a lot.
Right, he did falter. He faltered. But let me say this. He might be the best surprise of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, because you cannot win. You cannot win without three to four starting pitchers. It'd be nice if you had somebody could go either way.
Say, especially when you got a questionable bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, having good starting pitching is very, very important.
Oh, my God.
How incredible was it to get rid of Joe Girardi, who refused to play a young player?
Right,
you bring this guy, Rob Thompson, he sees the team completely differently, plays all these young players. And look what they're doing.
Yeah.
All these young kids are contributing. There's energy. Each night there's a different guy, young player, that helps.
Yeah.
And the whole complexion of the Phillies, they went from like a under 500 horrible team, and now they're, you know, they're a borderline playoff team.
Absolutely. And it, they're fun to watch.
Yeah. They have an ongoing theme, you know, next man up.
Well, you know what? Somebody like Stott, for example, there's a kid at the beginning of the memory was like one for 30 or something. He's developing. You can watch him developing right before your eyes, right? Who's the young catcher?
Stubbs.
Stubbs. Right. I love that guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he's just like a little fireball. Looks like a high school kid, like jumping all over the place. Like,
I say this to you, Joe, and Sonny's here. It's good that he's back. It brings us back to a little bit of Sixers talk. Watching Rob Thompson take over for the old guard, Joe Girardi. We needed to fire Doc Rivers and start over.
Really?
It's so clear
you
to
truly
me.
Believe that.
Oh, I do truly believe that. And watching the Phillies rise with this different alternative, you know, lifer of a coach, but who saw it differently, uh-huh. who plays the young kids, who manages the bullpen completely differently. His ideas have sparked a playoff run, and I feel that Doc Rivers is Joe Girardi, and that we're stuck in the mud with this coach that isn't going to move our Sixers team forward.
By the way, there are coaches, though. There are coaches.
Just my two cents.
You know, like, who was what's his name? Coach the world champions 2008. Our manager, Charlie Manuel.
Charlie Manuel.
Charlie was not, you know, he came in with that team and he was sticking with that team,
right.
and new young players were not getting developed. Towards the end, they had to make that decision. Got his 1,000th win, and then Ruben Amaro, you know, was crying like a baby.
Well, that was a problem. They waited too late to bring in, new players.
Yeah, they did, and so that was difficult. I'll tell you, I have an idea. If the Sixers were going to bring in a new coach,
who would you choose?
I'm looking
our man Jay Wright.
I'm looking at Jay Wright right now. I'm looking at your Villanova.
I back up the Brinks truck. I have a blank check, and I just work it out.
Listen,
I work it out.
I said for years that I thought the best landing spot for Jay, if he decided to go to the NBA, is the New York Knicks.
Really?
I mean, they need some cleaning up. They need some discipline. And, you know, you can't beat that marketplace for a guy like Jay Wright.
Yeah.
But the Knicks are like death. I mean, it's like a death zone.
Yeah.
It's like you're touched by failure. I mean, every regime
Let me ask you a question.
There's nowhere to go but up.
What's good? Right. Did Durant get signed? Is he going back to Golden State, or are they just...
No, he's going to stay with Brooklyn.
They're running it back with Kyrie and Ben Simmons.
Well, listen, the thing is, even now... it's impossible. It will never happen. But if Ben Simmons understood that in Philly, all you got to do is own up and say, "Listen, guys, I was ticked off, and it didn't work." But
it's not going to happen though if he's on the same team with Kyrie.
Yeah,
no. Kyrie is just too much drama, and that drama is bound to get to other players.
Yeah, two absolutely. Most dysfunctional players in the NBA that are teammates now. It's never going to work.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, nobody likes to, you know, I don't want to see, I hate to see anybody end anything like that, but of course I still believe, and Jeff, I said it 100 times, I'm like, I guess I could be wrong, I'd hope I would be, but that Ben Simmons may never play another game again, but I would hope that this year that stops. I mean,
Joe, it still remains to be seen. You and I have talked about it a lot. He hasn't suited up yet. We'll see.
Right.
We'll see how the back goes and the mental illness, and there's a lot with him, and,
yeah.
You know, I have to see it to believe it.
So. Absolutely. Well, you know, listen, he's had the emotional issues, like you said. By the way, I know a nice psychologist. By the way, you know, that's right, Dr. Allison Nierenberg. By the way, she has counseled many pro athletes.
That might be one patient that she passes.
She might pass on that
She might come in. Well, there'll be no more meetings on Tuesday nights when she comes in, she won't have no time to get on the phone.
Some people can't be fixed.
That's right.
Right.
So having said that, you know, we got a great show. I want to kind of remind our listeners, obviously, about both practices, you know, just because we're going to get into, you know, so, you know, a different type of theme. Sonny, if you would remind our listeners, obviously, about Banks Law.
And Banks Law focuses on four practice areas. Our primary practice area is Pennsylvania workers' compensation. We also do Social Security, both SSD and SSI. We do veterans benefits and long-term disability cases.
Awesome. And Jeff, here at Nirenberg Law Associates.
I have been a lawyer for almost 29 years, and I focus in on car accidents and slip and fall accidents. Just many people who've been injured in all types of injuries. I've handled cases all throughout PA, New Jersey, and all over the greater tri-state area. And if you've been hurt, I can really try to help you. And my staff has been great and helpful. And I just hope that people contact me if they need a lawyer.
And of course, both contingency fee agreements, so there's no out-of-pocket cost.
Correct.
You know, if you accept the case or for the consultation, and working together, third-party cases. There are potential times when a work injury also has a third-party component. You would, Sonny.
Happens quite a bit at construction sites. You know, where somebody might be working for a subcontractor or a general contractor. Gets hurt, files a workers' compensation claim against the subcontractor who is his primary employer, and may have a third-party case against the general if the general was responsible for actually causing the injury. Also, another example is if you're injured in a motor vehicle accident on the job, then you would have a workers' compensation claim against your employer and perhaps a third-party or personal injury claim against the driver who struck you.
Sonny and I have collaborated many times through the years. People who are involved in slip and fall and car accidents oftentimes are at work. And the two of us have collaborated, and people don't realize there's two separate cases there. People get confused. They can get a settlement from Sonny and workers' comp and also a third-party settlement from me, and you get two great lawyers on a contingency fee, and there's no money up front for you. And you can get two checks,
right?
Which is a wonderful
thing. And the recovery is different. I mean, in Jeff's side of the case, you can get pain and suffering damages, which are a lot more than wage loss and medical benefits that you're entitled to in a workers' compensation case.
And when we're talking work, you know, it's a work injury that also has a third-party element. Well, to define that, because I've had so many shows with the both of you, that is when you're in work and you get injured on the job and it's your fault or somebody in your company's fault, that third party element doesn't exist. That's simply a workers' compensation case, right?
Yeah. Workers' compensation in Pennsylvania is what is called a no-fault statute. You don't have to prove that your injury was caused.
Or if it was an accident or, that you caused yourself, you know, I mean, like you're saying.
Yeah. You don't have to prove that your work accident was caused by someone else or yourself. I mean, you just have to prove that you were injured at work or in the course and scope of your employment.
And of course, when there's a negligent party and I've learned this from you, Sonny. You know, I always put the analogy: somebody, you dig a hole yourself, and you slip and you fall in the hole that you dug. That's workers' compensation, even if it's your fault. It's not a problem. You got injured in the scope of work, correct, in your normal scope. However, somebody else dug that hole and didn't put caution tape around it.
You call me.
Right. Right.
And Sonny and I work together to tag team this guy.
That's right.
The guy that dug the
hole.
So
it's a work compensation case, and it's a third-party negligence case due to somebody else's fault.
Right.
And both Jeff and I do our due diligence when we see a new client to make sure that we're addressing all of their causes of action. You know, so I look to see if there's a negligent person, you know, that caused my client's work injury. So that way I can get him to Jeff and he can, make sure that he pursues that claim while I'm pursuing the workers' compensation claim.
Yeah, and so the communication between the two is, it's very important,
yes,
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're working with clients in very difficult time in their lives, the communication with the client, and obviously it's a hard time for them. And I know Sonny on a daily basis because, not daily, but you know, more.
It feels like daily.
Yeah. Because workers' comp.
Several times daily.
The work comp provider can be so brutal.
Yeah, well, the work comp case is faster than the personal injury case. I mean, I think personal injury claims these days, you know, are taking anywhere from 2 to 4 years to actually go to trial. Comp cases typically. The litigation period is 9 months to 12 months, and then you have another 3 or 4 months before you get the judge's decision. So the pace of the comp case is a lot faster than personal injury.
Sonny, and speak to the fact that since COVID, I know that they've been using Zoom and Teams, and how has that changed the landscape of your practice?
It's been great. I think it's made comp more efficient. Because I don't have to travel all over the state just to tell the judge that I took a doctor's deposition last week, and I don't have the transcript to hand in. So all the status hearings are conducted via Zoom. Our mediations are done by Zoom. Claimant's testimony is even being done by Zoom. So the client can come to my office and participate in a video conference with the judge or stay at home. And
think how many hours you've saved commuting now. And just think about the hours that we've all had to wait in court. For nothing.
Yeah.
For literally nothing.
You've been to comp court.
It's a
cattle call.
I would see you there and I would just be like, how do you do this every day?
In the old days, they would list like 50 cases at 9:30. And then you just waited your turn.
Really?
Yeah. So you could be
Sonny,
there for
I could
hours.
Never understand how they couldn't just slot people and try to figure out a way to not make everybody sit for 3 hours.
Yeah, the judges they're so resistant to that because, you know, if you have a shorter list and you're able to get done in maybe 45 minutes to an hour, if you slot it, then you could be there all day.
Right.
But if you don't slot it, you know, you're going to done 45 minutes to an hour.
And so by the old days, do you mean like right before COVID?
Sure. Yeah.
Pre-COVID. March of 2020, that was the way of the world. And now it's pretty much done online.
Right.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Now, the clients, do you ever have clients at Comp Court or no?
Yeah. And they're waiting with you.
No kidding.
Pre-COVID. So they could be waiting for hours to be heard.
And on my side of things, motion court, and you've probably attended motion court, discovery court through the years, we had to go to City Hall. There'd be 256 cases in courtroom 620, and you could be there literally all day.
Wow.
So if you have oral argument, you could be there till 2 or 3 o'clock. And now it's all online, and it's streamlined.
Yeah.
And in some ways, COVID has made things better.
Right, and I think that, you know, some of the good things from COVID are going to continue. I don't see comp going back to the way they were pre-COVID. I think they're going to, carry on some of these things. There's no reason to do status hearings any other way than by video conference. Same with mediations.
And depositions,
and
of
depositions,
course.
And depositions, yeah.
Though I will say in depositions, when I have a really good client, I always liked when my good client would come to a comp hearing or into my office to meet the lawyers.
Sure.
And now the defense bar is so comfortable at home, getting them to come here is almost impossible.
Yeah, and some of them are a bit antsy because they're concerned about you passing information to the witness or the client.
Right.
Yeah, I've actually had them accuse me of that. I'm like, listen, that's not the way I operate. I'm going to give you the same respect via video conference as I do in person.
Right.
And the technology, you know, I've heard in your world, Jeff, going from, you know, it has saved, plaintiff's attorneys from having to drive across the state.
It's incredible the amount of time, effort, money being saved by the technology. I mean, think of all the time we just wasted doing these things. The commute itself was ridiculous, the waiting. Now you open a computer.
What about depositions and deposing somebody? You like to, I'll add the defensive side into this. The defense and, of course, yourself, do you really want to, everybody pushing to get do that in person?
Well, I look to push in person when I have an excellent client, which isn't always the case.
Like if I was your client, you'd want to get that guy right in front of
him. You have a face for radio, so we'll keep you on Zoom.
Right. He scared me, man. He scared
in person. We're not putting you in person. We'll put you on Zoom.
With a very dark kind of shield.
But when you have an attractive, smart, intelligent client, male or female, you want them in person. And I actually, Sonny, had to get a court order recently because the defense lawyer was so against it. And I'm like, where's the directive in the order saying that we can't have an in-person dep? Right. COVID is sort of over. All the restrictions are over. And I want this Depp in person. And I actually had to get a court ruling to have that happen. Yeah, and the guy was angry with me, but I had a person.
What was he angry for?
He was angry that he had to leave his house and drive to the beautiful, you know, the Dwayne Morris Plaza and come to the suite and sit right here and take an actual deposition the way he did for 30 years up till 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, sir, you've been in my office 17 times, and why is the 18th time so hard?
Yeah, people have gotten too comfortable working from home.
And haven't you seen that?
I have, and it's not always the best way. I mean, especially if you have a witness where you have to present them with a lot of exhibits. You know,
that's the key. When you have a lot of exhibits or you have a hostile witness, it's really hard on Zoom to get it done. You know, when you're in person, it's just a lot easier.
How often do you have a hostile witness?
Often, actually, kind of often. I have witnesses. I have defendants that get angry that they're even sued, that they have to be—they're dragged into court.
Like Marissa Tomei and my cousin Vinny. I just saw that the other night.
I love that.
Wasn't that great? She's like, and you blend. Oh yeah, and you blend. And the judge goes, "Well, I can certainly understand the hostility. Do you guys know each other? He's my fiance."
And Joe, I have the same thing with employer fact witnesses being hostile toward an injured worker because they're pursuing a claim. So, you know, we both have those.
How do you witnesses. And sometimes they're hostile right there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they'll
in what kind of way, like?
Well, they first of all, they think the person's faking the injury.
Faking it.
You know.
Everybody's faking it.
Right, exactly.
Of course, there's not a real accident out there.
You know, and they threaten the injured worker with losing their job
if right in front of you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They don't hesitate.
I'd like to go to that meeting. I'm just saying that, you know, imagine if it happened to somebody's loved one. Oh, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Everybody changes their tune when it happens to them.
Oh, sure.
It's easy to talk about what's going on in other people's lives until it comes to you.
Yeah.
You don't like or need a lawyer until you really, really need one.
Oh, so yeah. True. I tell people that every day.
That's the truth.
And then we're your best friend.
Absolutely. Okay, so, I mean, look, you know, workers' compensation, personal injury, there's so many, you know, areas that you guys do great things. Of course, by the way, I was going to tell you, I got a call from Joe Griffey today. I was telling you, he does the veteran show.
Right.
Evidently, they passed some kind of a law on the vets that were at Afghanistan and Iraq. There was some kind of burn pits over there, and a lot of people got sick. And
they expanded the presumptive conditions for those kinds of cases.
Yeah,
and they also added the ability to sue for exposure to contaminated drinking water at Camp Lejeune.
Yeah, so I mean, and so you know, he said he would love to be on your show or vice versa, you on his show.
Yeah,
he does the veteran show,
right?
And you know,
yeah, every Saturday, I think.
The Camp Lejeune thing, as an outsider looking in, I've just been flooded and inundated. Everyone's calling to ask me about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. It seems like one of the biggest topics out there in the law.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a short break, and then we're going to get into our Lawyers for Youth broadcast, a lot of what's going on today in our communities, and of course, which leads into our Sparking the Dream conversation. We'll have more from Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg and his guest Sonny Banks after the break.
Suffering a personal injury due to the negligence of another, whether it be from a motor vehicle accident, an Uber or Lyft accident, a slip and fall accident, a workplace accident, or other, can be a devastating, even life-altering experience. Jeffrey Nierenberg of Nierenberg Law Associates understands how an injury can turn your life upside down. That's why he represents his clients with the utmost care and passion. At Nierenberg Law Associates, you get the representation and resources you need to win and the personal touch and results you deserve. Contact Jeff Nierenberg of Nierenberg Law Associates at 215-569-9100 or online at phillypilaw.com and get the recovery and justice you deserve.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg. here on WWDB Talk 860. Jeff's guest is Sonny Banks. Banks Law. Certainly, we've got a great show. But before we segue, we did forget to talk a little Eagles. I'll tell you, I'll be honest. This broadcast is right after the first game.
Did the Eagles really play? Did they play this week?
They did play.
They did.
I'll tell you, I did not want them. I mean, I was not happy about them playing Detroit. I saw Hard Knocks, and it's not.
Yeah, I saw it too.
You know, I watched it too.
There's a lot of character on that team.
Probably one of the better Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah,
the coach was fantastic. I almost like I wanted to go out with him.
Yeah,
have a beer with him.
He
was awesome.
He is a cool dude.
Emotional.
And he made a gargantuan mistake when he onside kicked that ball gave the Eagles the short field. We scored.
Crazy.
It's a rookie mistake.
It is.
He's looking to change the culture a little too fast.
Right.
No question. But the bottom line is, by the way, the kid from prep, DeAndre Swift.
Oh,
wow. Did he come around?
Wow.
My God. He looked like the second coming of Barry Sanders, for crying out loud.
Didn't you want to switch running backs and just have him on your team? Well,
Until Sanders got that first down at the end of the game.
Right.
But, you know, I thought Hurts kind of carried us. I also think Hurts at the same time is, you know, in some cases, he's a little bit of a victim of the type of offense we run. It's a real quick hitter type thing. Mm-hmm. You're not back reading like Brady does. He's reading, and there's some time. It's a run pass option.
He did save the game. Him and AJ Brown, of course, won the game.
Oh my
the
God!
Eagles, but Hurts still to me looks to run a little too much. I hate to see him as our leading rusher. It kills me.
But it's
great in the regular season, but you play Tampa and the Rams and you play good teams.
Sure.
It's not going to work.
You got a point, but think about this. Just think about it. It's preseason for these guys.
Right.
They haven't, I mean, literally speaking, they got four games out. Now, the Lions, it really wasn't preseason. Do you see that Hard Knocks? They've been playing hard.
They worked hard in training camp.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
I was happy for their fans because I don't like to see anybody go through that type of misery.
Right.
Of course, this is what I said to my wife and my son.
I'm with Jeff. I mean, that's even more reason not to have Jalen Hurts running the way he
right.
did.
Yeah.
Come on. It's early in the season. You don't want to lose him at the beginning.
The thing about him is, you know, like somebody, if you look at an individual whose career got shortened because of that. I mean, almost every quarterback does, but the kid from Washington.
Robert Griffin III.
RG3.
Remember, rookie of the year.
Keep it in mind, he weighed 190 pounds soaking wet. This guy, Hurts, bench press is 450.
Joe, let me say one
he's
thing.
He's a man's man.
But I went to training camp. He's a little Smurf guy compared to his peers. I mean,
right. These
are all giants, and he's this little guy. I don't care how strong he is. The more he runs the ball and absorbs hits in the NFL, the shorter his career will be.
No.
And that's the problem with it.
There's no question. But look.
I think Lamar Jackson's the same way. He runs the ball way too much.
Yeah. And he's a lot better. We'll agree that Jalen Hurts isn't going to be the MVP of the NFL. Willie, do you agree?
I agree.
At
but
this point.
I like him so much as a person, and
okay.
I'm pulling for him so much. I just want to see. He's everything a Philly guy, but let's be real. You know, if they shot him down and he's got like a baseball windup, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he's going to have to, you know, be able to thread the needle. He's going to be able, of course, what's his name? Our Heisman Trophy winner wide receiver had no catches.
So I was listening to 610 this morning and, you know,
Devontae Smith.
Right. And they're reviewing the tapes and they said Devontae Smith was wide open six times right in front of him,
but
he took off on those six plays.
Wow.
And that doesn't work in the playoffs. No. And it will not work if they get that far.
But I do think
let's
see what happens in 4 weeks.
Okay.
In 3 weeks, you know, let's see where.
Let it progress.
We got the W. I said to my wife and my son, because we watched the game together, I'm like, I just want to win by 1 point. That's all I care about.
Could the defense have been any worse? If the offense was an A+, was the defense an F?
I'll tell you.
Any points.
But you know what's interesting, though? You got a point, but I see such promise in our D-backs, man. At the beginning of the game, they were, you know, okay. But let's see where it goes. I also think that that our run defense when
can't be that bad, right?
Right.
They have nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you bring the big dump truck. We got the rookie kid.
He didn't play.
Jordan.
Did he play?
He played a little bit when we brought him in.
A little bit.
But when we brought him in, they stopped running up the middle. We were able to shut him down. I think it's the beginning of the year.
The preseason's a joke. Nobody plays.
It's the truth.
Right.
Except
Hard Knocks, except the Detroit Lions. They play.
Right.
Yeah. Every Sunday, I'm going to say a prayer that he stays healthy.
Yeah, no question.
I'm with you.
By the way, guys.
Jalen doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, me too, because I'm not a big Gardner Minshew fan.
No.
You know, he looked incredible first game last year. Second game, he looked like a college player. He got smoked. And so, this is ridiculous, but listen. Nick Foles, we could have got him, but the reason they didn't bring him in, they got a good point. First time Jalen gets injured, has a bad game.
They point to the statue outside.
Right, they point to the statue, and all of a sudden, so it'd be just too much with that cloud
Jalen
over his head.
Might not overcome being pointed to the statue every day.
One thing about Nick Foles, he never has to worry about where he if he ever wants to move to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mother of God will have a parade for him every day.
He'll never have to buy a drink.
Never.
Or dinner.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think we've met our sports quota.
Even though
a week ago, we can keep going. What's great about it though? I love schooling you guys and educating us about
you,
sports, baseball, football.
Thank you, sir.
Sonny, I'll go through the history of Villanova basketball. On the next
And you know record. Why you're able to do that? Because you were a player.
Oh, yeah. I was a player. Yeah, especially with basketball. I averaged 6 points a game on the St. Bridges. There was a statue outside, but I don't know what happened to it.
It blew away. It was made of paper mache.
I'm going to bring my teammates in. We'll talk. So anyway.
Another day.
Having said that, you almost got to go to commercial because the segue is... But one of the things that Sonny and I are launching is a program called Sparking the Dream. And what is Sparking the Dream? Well, we've done so much legal radio, and we have the opportunity, and I have had the opportunity to have great shows with gentlemen like yourself, and just the top of the class, attorneys and legal professionals, and it happens literally every week, and it's an awesome thing. And I there's so many emotions, but I was headed to a broadcast not long ago, and I remember walking in and going, I was driving to it, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go do a show, good show like we're doing now, and we're going to do some networking, get some exposure. But then I leave, and I'll I might at the most say to my wife, good show today. She'll say, how was the show? I'll say, good. And I'm happy with if it was a successful show. But I thought to myself, why am I the benefactor to just that experience? I can't. Aside from doing the radio stuff, there's nowhere I can go with it. And I thought to myself, there are so many kids out there who are under-resourced or from an underprivileged background that could benefit from something like this, like there's no tomorrow. And that is what sparked the dream. And we went to Sonny and I said, listen, I've been thinking about this on and off for a while in one form or another, but walking in and having one or two kids, not 10, not 20.
Right.
Okay. One of the things that kids who are from underserved or under-resourced areas don't have, by the way, I ran into, to Jake Banks yesterday. Now, Jake Banks, there goes a well-adjusted dude. I talked to him for 15, 20 minutes.
I hope so, Jeff.
What a cool guy, right? And I've met your kids, seen them all
you
talk.
Met Justin and Amanda and Marissa.
Well, think about this. The opportunity to have parents like you guys and your wives. And I remember when I became an iron worker, right, which I... whether I liked it or not. But my father ran the union. I got fired from my bartending job. I was 19 years old. I got sick, and Captain Z said I was off the team. My dad said to me that day, you'll be at apprentice school tonight. Now, that may sound, you may not think much about it, but there are people who have spent 10 years trying to get in that apprentice program. Okay.
You had that door open for you.
Whether I liked it or not.
All about opportunities.
It's about opportunities. And a big part of what young people don't have, who are from under-resourced backgrounds, are those connections. And to be able to walk in and see a role model like you guys. I think about your kids and mine also. The resource that you guys have been, the great parents you have been, and the fact that anything's possible. One thing I saw with my dad, because I saw achievement all day long. I mean, he just, and making lives and providing livings for so many people. And
not only for himself, but thousands of others.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was anything's possible. And so I've always had the adage, listen, if somebody can do it, so can I. And so the point I'm making is to be able to bring individuals in who would normally never have the opportunity to sit in a room like this. Okay. But,
So take us through it. So
explain the basic structure
to the listeners. Explain what the program is and how it's going to benefit children.
Sure. So we're going to work with select schools, okay, charter schools, Catholic public schools, colleges, maybe some law schools. We're working on we're putting it together now. But we've had the Black Clergy on our shows, and Sonny and I have had many shows where we're going to be. So we're going to work with aspiring students. One, two, or three. The talk radio is one of the great networking platforms on the planet.
Agreed.
Okay.
We agree.
And to be able to walk it, to be able to work with schools, to be able to bring kids that are aspiring to do or be something, whether it's an attorney or other type of professional.
Are they going to spend a day, a week, a month? How long will they spend?
They'll come into the broadcast. Mm-hmm. They'll get this is a networking platform. That's what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And it's a spotlight on the attorneys in the room. Well, the kids are going to get the opportunity to see that, to learn about you guys as top professionals. And at the same time, be able to ask questions on air. We're going to ask questions on air. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're going to get to be a part of the broadcast, go to lunch afterwards, maybe tour the law firm. And of course, get a little conversation when you go to lunch and you sit in on the broadcast, and maybe we get the opportunity to learn a little bit about what that child is experiencing. Now,
we can spark something with the kid.
Well,
with any
sparking the dream is, you know, where somebody walks in, they meet a role model, they meet an attorney that, you know, the stereotypical attorneys are the defense attorney who's representing somebody. That's the only thing you see on TV,
right?
Or maybe that's your image of them. But in individuals who have really succeeded, and to be able to, by the way, connect and network with individuals. That's why we're not bringing in 30 kids,
right?
Because there's no networking when you got an audience.
Sure.
But you bring one child in, okay, student age. I'm talking high school, maybe college.
How are you going to vet the kids? How are we going to find the
We're going to be working with the administrators. Mm-hmm. There's going to be when I say standards, obviously there has to be
good behavior.
Right. Somebody who's aspiring to be a professional who wants to be there. I don't think a kid that's not aspiring, and by the way, that doesn't mean that we can't come up with a program for them kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's still possible. But that might be the second stage. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, that's probably a heavier lift.
Right. It is, you know, if they're not aspiring to or in that position to do those things. But the point is, we're working that out with the schools.
And one of our guests, Jimmy Chung, gave you a great resource.
That's right, Nancy Walsh. Okay, and she works with the Montgomery County Bar. We're talking about working with the Philadelphia Bar, and they have a lot of diversity programs. So I really believe, and we're going to put it on our website. But guess what's really interesting about this? The kids themselves are going to, you know, they're going to be on these radio shows. The lawyers still, by the way, it's still a networking platform like it is right now, except I think it's going to be more of an open-hearted giving network.
Right.
Like you and Sonny, you'll still be in the same room.
Sure.
But also now you got a student who's promoting the show to everyone they know because they're going to be on the air.
Right.
And the attorneys get additional exposure, on that broadcast. Now we're promoting the podcast in the communities. We're now promoting, you know, they may get a motivational speech by Jeff Nierenberg, okay, and talking about how, you know, there's nothing more heartbreaking than the thought of somebody having, you know, what was that What was that saying in the movie? There's nothing worse. Oh yeah, in A Bronx Tale. There's not. Or was it nothing worse than wasted talent?
Than wasted talent.
Okay. Well, a kid who doesn't know what to do with it, who's never met somebody like yourself. Even listen, you know, that's the fantasy. Doctors and lawyers. Well, guess what? We have doctors and lawyers all day long.
Yeah, but it's important for them to understand that it's not what they see on TV.
No.
I mean,
that's right.
Jeff and I, we can't wait to roll up our sleeves and you know, get the work. You know, we don't worry about the fancy suits and all that other stuff that you see on TV that they try to glam up our profession. That's not what it's about.
It's true,
about the client.
But also the inspiration, understanding, Jeff, you know, these kids also may have never met anybody that looks like them.
Right.
Or at least imagine, who knows, you know, when we say under-resourced, we're talking about individuals that may have, you know, not have the resources to either go to a school or, but they...
Single-parent families, no-parent families.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
You know, some living in poverty, but, you know, he's doing everything.
Imagine bringing in a young woman and have her participate in the show that we just had with Miriam Barish and Tracy Finkin.
So what's interesting, and so having said that, the worst thing that could possibly happen is a child who aspires to get, you know, that falls between the cracks, okay, and never gets that opportunity.
Right.
And so putting that together, having, you know, creating what we're calling the ultimate career day experience.
When will this launch? So what's
we're
the plan?
We're launching as we speak. In other words, you know, this, believe it or not, this is the first on-air broadcast for Spark and Dream. We're going to be doing what are called, and Jeff, we may do it, you know, with yourself as well, a Lawyers for Youth Summit, where somebody like yourself might grab, you know, you have a lot of associates, and we do a Zoom summit, okay? And we're doing a lot of them. I do my labor and energy show. Sonny and I are doing them. We would be doing this by a Zoom summit, but we had the show broadcasted. So the Zoom summit is, you know, you put together a Zoom where the number you're discussing the issues and all them. You talk about the program. By the way, that gets produced at the station and airs on the air. So it's a broadcast as well. And so
is there a component where the kid could follow up as sort of a summer intern or have an opportunity to work if that is a special kid there's a fit?
It's a great point. That's why we're having one or two kids come in, maybe three maximum. Why? Because I really believe as much as the kids are going to get out of it, you guys as attorneys and the women as attorneys, I guarantee you're going to have somebody who sits there and says, you're not going anywhere. You know, I want you working here.
Right.
And by the way, you know,
there's an opportunity for you.
There's opportunity. And so there's so, and by the way, the response from the legal community has been unprecedented. Okay. And so it's a big deal. What we think we're going to be able to accomplish, working with, Nancy Walsh, and we're meeting this Friday, and we're putting together what may really happen. Well, is ours is a career day experience, opportunity to meet an attorney like yourself to maybe become an intern, a role model, or a mentor, and at the same time have the opportunity to Nancy's got a lot of programs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to talk about how the synergy and what we're doing and what she's doing, but
it could change kids' lives. I mean, it could change the arc of their
You're not life, really their meeting. Careers. You never get to meet the guy. You know, you rarely ever meet to get the guy meet the guy on the door. You know that, and so that's a big part of what we're doing, and we think it's a great utilization of the talk radio show. By the way, I think it increases the viability of the radio shows. Now, it's not going to be every one of the radio shows that you do, but it may be a few a year, and it may be a situation where we have the opportunity to do some really cool things. I mean, just for a second, look at what's going on across our city and really across the country.
It's so heartbreaking. Our city in particular is the most heartbreaking right now. I'm a big get in the car, listen to KYW, at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, and it all, the first 15 minutes is all about fire, shootings, and usually gun violence with kids. There's right. always a kid involved in last night's 32 shootings.
Yep.
And people in our city have become gun-shy, literally, to come to the city. I live in Plymouth Meeting, and so many people that are working from home now are like, Jeff, how can you work in the most dangerous city in the country? And I laugh all the time, but the messaging, the news, everything that we hear out of our city is violence and just so much gun violence. And it's heartbreaking.
Is.
It's heartbreaking.
One of the things, you know, when you look at it, I've done a number of these shows on you know, Sonny and I have done many pass-through shows. And I've done them with community leaders as well. And
judges as well
and
as
judges.
Councilmen. We had David O on.
Oh, my God. It just across the board.
Judge Tamika Lane.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that's amazing is stereotypically you would think this is drugs and gangs. Okay, just drugs and gangs. It's not.
It's everybody with guns. It's just too
many. Well,
guns.
Well, it's a social media argument
right.
about a girl. Okay.
Right.
And you know, we talk about, you talk about the gun, the gun violence, and then you think about the gun laws and all that. One of the problems is, and I said this to one of the pastors when we did a show, Sonny. You know, I said, well, what about gun reform, gun law reform? And the answer by the pastor was, those aren't the guns that are committing the crimes. It's the illegal guns. It's all that. So you could right. you could sit there and do and say all you want. Now, there should be common sense gun laws, no question about it. You know, nobody should be able to outgun the police. Right. However, I guess what I'm saying is it's a complex. This is, you know, they're not going out and fist fighting anymore.
No.
I mean, this is.
And kids are the most affected because they can't protect themselves and they can't control their environment because we've screwed it up for them. And schools are so, so unsafe.
And I don't think they, either they don't know or they don't understand that there's other ways to resolve conflict, you know, rather than picking up a gun. And as you were alluding to, Joe, the people that we had on air that, know about this kind of thing said that it's too easy to disseminate information, you know, through social media.
Oh, my God.
You know, people get, you know, these bullying and all that other kind of stuff, you know, almost instantly. And there's no cooling off period. So they react by picking up a gun and you know, going after the person who made the comment.
Yeah, and believe me, we all, like, I have great friends. I have a great friend named Darryl Shore, who is a big activist in the city. We've done a number of radio shows together. He owned one nightclub, I own the other. And we've talked about it, and he's had to put the gun down movement, for decades at this point, and he's doing everything he can, just like everybody else. But it's not, there's, you got to give somebody something to lose, okay? And one of the things that we're talking about right now is, I believe that you're going to see attorneys. I believe. Now, not every attorney is going to have the capability of this, but there's going to be somebody who gets their education paid for. Somebody's going to say, you know what? We're not letting this kid fall between the cracks.
Sure.
Collateral damage is something, by the way, that we see little kids getting in the way. I mean, playing in their own living rooms. Okay, let alone somebody who has never met or has never had a role model or didn't think that it was possible, but was aspiring.
Wasn't there a 17-year-old girl recently who was walking her dog?
Yeah.
Yep, that just happened last week.
So killed. We're launching this program. Advocacy United is a nonprofit. It was the Injured Workers Advocacy Program that it was a nonprofit I started in 2014. And
so the Legal Talk Lawyers Network will be implemented into this program.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, but what's great about it also is, it also welcomes, a plethora of other types of attorneys who maybe a defense firm or it allows individuals that normally would not be able to take advantage of the radio or networking to be a part of
it
something.
It brings them into the mix.
And it brings them into the mix. So we're launching it as we speak. The bags under my eyes, which are normally there, are bigger than normal because I've spent the last, we're coming down it. And Sonny and I have talked about a lot of different possibilities and in regards to, you know, how we want it. What my dream also was to be able to utilize the talk radio, you know, with, you know, within the movements that I'm utilized. By the way, there could be labor leaders. There could be all kinds of individuals.
Politicians,
right? But sure. The legal talk is what we do. We've had hundreds and hundreds of attorneys on, and so it's a pretty cool thing. I think we're going to do, and I think that the response from the attorneys themselves has been just amazing. Just wanting to help. How can I help? What can I do? So
very exciting.
We'll keep everybody on top of it. It'll be hearing a lot about this program. And the goal obviously is to change lives. And that's what we're going to do. I cannot wait to get started. There's a lot of moving parts. I mean, we're working with the schools. We're going to later, but we want to do it the right way. And I'm looking forward to really, you know, getting this thing started and doing our first students. We're going to, by the way, we may be videoing it. We may be, you know, putting it up on a website. Mm-hmm. And the attorneys who are talking to the kids.
I'm looking forward to being a part of it. Absolutely. Sounds very, very exciting.
Absolutely. Okay. So, gentlemen, we have about 3 minutes left. Okay. And you're right about it, Jeff. There wasn't much to say on this show, not much going on. You know, we've covered a lot. We've covered the law. We've covered every one of the Philadelphia sports, and we covered what's going on in the city of Philadelphia. Having said that, let's finish up on, you know, Sunnybanks. Remind everybody, obviously, about you know, the contact information for the firm.
Banks Law 215-561-1000. Our web address is www.bankslaw.com. Brand new website, so please check it out. Again, if I can help you in the areas of Pennsylvania workers' compensation, Social Security, veterans' benefits, or long-term disability, I'm here.
Awesome. Fantastic. Jeff Nierenberg.
Jeff Nierenberg at jeff@phillypilaw.com. I'm looking for cases, any type of accident case, car accident, slip and fall, any type of premises liability. I've gotten involved in homeowners' claims, and all types of injury claims, strange, weird. But if you need help, I hope that you give me a call. And I'm at 215-569-9100.
All right, gentlemen, it's been an absolutely fantastic broadcast.
Yes, Jeff, I appreciate the invite. Thank you very much.
Great to have you, and I'm glad that I had my mentor on that inspired my radio show. And I thank you.
That's awesome. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg. I want to thank Sunnybanks, Jeff's guest, for the broadcast. Of course, Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg is brought to you by Nierenberg Law Associates. And of course, on behalf of Jeff Nierenberg and Sunnybanks, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.